Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 48. This parak is the third of six prakim talking about other nations at the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu prophesies about the Plishtim. They were allies of Sur, and Nebuchadnezzar would annihilate their cities. In this parak, Yirmiyahu shares a nevuah about the nation of Moab. Moab was a country to the east of the Jordan. As a descendant of Lot, they were the relatives of Avram Avinu, and the Torah commanded Bnei Israel not to initiate battle against them. There was also a commandment that the Jewish people could not marry Moabite men as they lacked a chesed personality, demonstrated by the fact that they did not offer food or drink to the nation when they passed them in the desert. Since the Jewish nation could not directly attack Moab, Hashem orchestrated that first Moab had some of its lands conquered by Sichon and Og, and then Moshe conquered them. He gave those lands to the Shvatim of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. When those Shvatim were exiled, Moab reclaimed their ancestral lands, which included cities we associate with Sichon and Og. These cities are listed in our parak as part of Moab. The Me'am always tells us that this parak has more psukim than nevuos directed to the other nations, as Moab was particularly evil. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the other nations looted whatever treasures were left. The Moabim focused on destroying Sifrei Torah, as they held within them the commandment that men could never marry Jewish women. The metaphors, as well as the names of the cities listed in this parak, are very similar to those mentioned in Sefer Yeshaya, chapters 15 and 16. It may be worthwhile to explore this prakim as you are learning this one. Another feature of this parak is its frequent use of wordplay and alliteration. As you read the psukim, note the similar-sounding words in a pasuk, which occurs more frequently in this parak. Throughout this parak, the nevuos refer to individual cities as well as to the nation as a whole. The psukim will mention a few cities at a time. The parak begins telling Moab that its cities, Nevo, Kiryasayim, Misgav, and Cheshbon, will be conquered and ashamed of their defeat. This nevuah is said from Hashem, the God of compassion, Hashem Tzvakos, the God who controls nature and nations, Elokei Yisrael, the God who directs history and people for the good of his people, Israel. In the last parak, the nevuah to the Plishtim was said just from Hashem. Moab is different than the other nations, as Hashem is punishing them to avenge what they did to the Jewish people. Their destruction has a special providence. The cities of Moab were prominent and influential, but they lost their status. No one will praise them anymore. Instead, the other nations are plotting against Moab to wipe out the country and all of its people. Even though the city of Madmen is at the border, the enemies will pursue people escaping even from there. No one is too insignificant to capture. As we read the parak, we are told of the devastation in each and every particular city and each and every geographical region, from mountains to the plains and the valleys. This destruction will be directed at the whole population, including children and adults, citizens and soldiers. They are all screaming and crying as they face destruction. The cities and regions will see their wealth seized and their people slaughtered and sent to exile. Yirmiyahu turns to Moab, verse 6. Nusu mal tu nafshchem, flee, save your lives, don't fight, leave everything you have. Bisyena ka'aro er bamidbar, and be like either a tree that stands alone solitary in the desert, or be like the city of Aro Er that was isolated from civilization. Moab could flee, and Yirmiyahu is encouraging them to do so, but they won't, because Bitrech b'masayach, you had faith in your work, ubotrosayach, and in your treasures and your wealth. Moab was a wealthy nation, and they relied on what they had accumulated. Their wealth was tied up in their cities. If they left the cities, they would lose whatever security their money gave them. Because of this attitude, in the end, they will lose both their money and their lives. Yirmiyahu compares the Moab to a bird, verse 9. Tnut sits the Moab, kinatsono tete, give wings to Moab, for she shall fly away. The nation will be sent to Gaulis quickly, like a bird takes flight, and our cities will be left empty and destroyed. Yirmiyahu then has a message that we have not seen with the other nations. Verse 10, Arur osem lachas Hashem Yirmiyah. Cursed is the one who does Hashem's work with a weak hand. But Arur moneach harbo midam. And cursed is the one who holds back his sword from blood. The Moabim deserved to be punished and killed for what they had done to the Jewish people, who could never start up with them. Whoever is the messenger of Hashem and does not kill Moab is not doing their job. As a nation, Moab had it easy. Verse 11. Sha'anan Moab minurav v'shoketu el shemarav. Moab had been at ease since its youth, and he has settled on his lees. There were never any enemies, not internal or external. When there is conflict, things get shaken up. Often, political changes leads to positive cultural changes. With Moab, v'lohu rak mikliel keli uvagola lo halach, they were like a vessel that had never been poured from one to the other. So it was as if the sediment, the bad character traits, were just sitting there, ruining them, as there was never conflict that caused change. Very soon Hashem will shake them up. Verse 12. Vishilachti lo tzoim ditzei uhu. I will send men to pour him out, and they shall pour him out. Vechelov yoriku v'nivlehem yinafetsu. And they shall empty his vessels and smash his jars. Moab had been wealthy and had a steady existence. Now their enemies would seize all their wealth and they would go into galus. They had relied on their idols in their cities and now feel foolish, just like Yisrael felt foolish about Mebesel Miftechon, the city of Basel that held an idol that they relied on, but it did not help the kingdom of Yisrael in the end and was a source of embarrassment. Moab thought they were strong and powerful, but that isn't the case. They were attacked, and their youthful soldiers are slaughtered, their wealth taken by an invading army. Verse 16, Karov aid Moab Lavo. The calamity of Moab is near to come. Moab is situated close to Yehuda, and so they will be next in the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar. This turn of events is significant. Moab is known for its security and stability. When others hear about their destruction, they'll be shocked. Verse 17, Echa nishbar mate oz makel tifara. How is the strong staff broken, the beautiful rod? This nation that was so wealthy and powerful and secure is now destroyed. From verses 18 to 24, the psukim list numerous cities, all which had been wealthy and strong, which will be sacked and whose citizens will be slaughtered or exiled. In addition to the individual cities facing destruction, there will be no more political power that holds the people together. Verse 25. Nigda'ad Karen Moav Uzro'o Nishbara. The horn of Moab is cut off and his arm is broken. The government and rule of Moab, as symbolized by the horn and arm of power, will be broken. Why is this happening? Verse 26 explains the core character flaw that allowed Moab to act with impunity to the Jewish people. Hashkiruhu ki al Hashem higdil. Make him drunk, for he has glorified himself, he has made himself greater against Hashem. This is the mashal. Moab should drink from the cup of anger that Yirmiyahu had symbolically given to all the nations because Moab was arrogant and ignored Hashem. V'safak Moab b'kio. Moab should wallow in his vomit. A drunkard vomits and soils himself. Moab's actions is what is causing themselves pain. When the Jews were being exiled to Babel, the Moabites mocked them and derided them. V'haya l'schok gam hu. He too shall become a laughing stock. Moab will now face the same fate that they did to the Jewish people. Their attitude toward the Jewish people had been one of arrogance and derision. They mocked them, verse 27. Midei devarecha bo tisnodad. Whenever you speak of him, Yirmiyahu says to Moab, you shake your head dismissively, arrogantly. Moab got particular joy whenever they would talk about the Jewish people and their destruction, as they were judgmental about them. The pasuk asks why, if the people were not thieves, were they so disparaged by this other nation? Yirmiyahu tells Moab once again that it is time to leave. Verse 28, Izvu arim v'shechnu basela. Leave the cities and dwell on the rock. In Jordan, where Moab had been situated, there are communities that were founded in the caves of the area, like Petra. Moab should abandon their open cities and fortresses and hide from invaders like doves hidden in rock crevices. Even though Yirmiyahu is telling the people to leave, he knows that Moab is a proud nation, exceedingly haughty and self-assured, and Hashem attests that there is nothing backing this arrogance and they won't save themselves. Moab is constantly getting angry with its neighbors and has an attitude and judgment for everyone else. Verse 30, Ani adati no Hashem, I know, says Hashem, Evrasov lochin, the source of its anger, and it's not legitimate. Moab does not have a real reason for its attitude. It is their arrogance which makes them judge others and be cruel human beings. Because of this attitude, which has impacted how Moab treated Yehuda and Israel, Moab will be punished. Yirmiyahu continues describing the grief associated with this destruction. Verse 32, Mibchi Yazer Evkhelach Hagefen Sivma. Even more than one could cry over what happened in Yazer, he will cry over the grapes of Sivma. The Radak, citing his commentary on Yeshaya, says that these grapevines of Sivma symbolize both the destruction and the exile. Some of the vines are destroyed, but others are taken overseas and planted in a foreign land. The lands of Moab will be left broken and depressed. Verse 33, V'ne'esfa simcha v'gil mikarmel, and all the gladness and joy is gathered away from the fruitful fields, me'eretz Moab, and from the land of Moab. When people go out to war, they shout to get energized. When they're happy, they hoot and holler from joy. Now, lo yidrach hedad, hedad lo hedad. None shall walk with shouting. The shouting is not really a shouting. When these people will shout, it is only cries of pain. They're not shouting to energize each other. All the cities will cry and scream. These cities had been like an eglas shlishia, the third-born cow, which is the most valuable. But now, ga me nimrim lima shamos viyu. The waters of Nimrim also shall be desolate. The wealth of the land stemmed from its rich soil and abundance of pasture land. That water supply is now cut off. The people will be so mourning their losses that they will not be able to stop and serve their idols. They will not have any time to do anything. They will shave their heads and their beards, cut themselves, and wear sackcloth as signs of mourning. I'll call Gagos Moab ubirchov seha kulo mispeid. On every roof of Moab and in its streets, they are all mourning. They are mourning because, verse 38, ki shavarti es Moab kechli ein chefetz bo. I have broken Moab like a vessel which is not wanted. There is no need for them, for this nation that is so arrogant and considers itself better than all of its neighbors. The people wail and cry over their loss and wonder how all of this happened. Verse 39, Ech hifna oref Moab bosh. How has Moab turned its neck with shame? Yirmiyahu is telling the people that they will not only mourn that they are destroyed, but how they are destroyed. There was no battle, and there is only shame in the way the soldiers fled. Everyone is mocking them for their lack of bravery and courage, which allowed Nebuchadnezzar to swoop in like a vulture to attack and seize the cities and fortresses. Their mighty warriors will feel like, verse 41, Isha Mitzera, a woman and her pangs of labor. When a woman is in the final stages of labor, she is hopeless. Yirmiyahu repeats that the nation of Moab will be no more. The Malbim says that when a nation shows bravery, their heroics are at least remembered, even if they lose the war. For an example, we still talk about the warriors of Masada. However, if an army just capitulates, then they are integrated into their new country with no remembrance of who they are or were, and with a tremendous sense of shame. Yirmiyahu emphasizes again why this is happening. Verse 42, Ki al Hashem higdil, because he has made himself great against the Hashem. When the Jewish people went out to Galus, the Moavim mocked Hashem and said that Hashem was not powerful enough to save the people of Yehuda. As a result, they will face humiliation. Verse 43, Pachad v'pachas v'pach, fright and a pit and a snare. Those who flee from Pachad, from the fright, will fall into the Pachas, the pit. Those who get up from the Pachas, the pit, will be caught in a Pach, the snare, so that Hashem repays Moab for all she has done. Yirmiyahu ends this parak with a message of hope for Moab. Although he mourns about their loss and that their sons and daughters are in captivity, there is still hope for them. Verse 47, Vishafti shvus Moab b'achris hayamim. I will return the captivity of Moab in the end of days. Moab will return to the land in the times of Mashiach and be under the rule of the Jewish people. This parak describes how each city and section of Moab will be destroyed. They will lose their wealth, and whoever is not slaughtered will be sent into exile. This is a fitting punishment for a nation that mocked Yehuda in their hour of need and was derisive toward them and Hashem throughout their shared history. One lesson we can learn from this parak is this danger of stagnation. What allowed Moab to become so arrogant and contemptuous is that they never faced challenges. They were wealthy and secure. Without challenges, they became cruel and angry at others when others were less than perfect. They showed no kindness to others who needed them. From this parak, we can learn to appreciate when we face change. Change helps us become better. Change can be scary. But if we embrace it and recognize that it helps keeps us fresh, we can enjoy change rather than resist it. Also, we can learn from this parak that we should not judge others until we experience what they are going through. To judge others and assume the worst is rooted in the worst kind of arrogance. It is better to be kind and flawed than perfect and cruel. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.